Hi, I'm Anthony Campy, driver of the Waterside Realty Royalties Chevy Fast Truck number 81, and you're listening to Short Track America.
Evergreen Development Construction Company of Tampa is your professional site development leader along the Gulf Coast of Mexico. From tree removal to complete land preparation, Evergreen Development Construction Company prepares your land purchase for complete development, including drainage, utilities, and road construction. One call gets it all. Evergreen Development Construction Company, 813-478-8847. And watch for the Evergreen Development Construction Company late model and open wheel modified at races near you. They're fast, and so is Evergreen Development Construction Company. 813-478-8847. Evergreen. Dayton Andrews Dodge is closing out 2006 in racer-friendly style. Dayton Andrews Dodge on the corner of 22nd Avenue and 34th Street in St. Petersburg, just off I-75, is offering great racer specials for the end-of-year savings. Buy now any new or used car, truck, or van at Dayton Andrews Dodge and tell them you heard it here on Short Track America. They'll send $500 of your racer special deal to Sprint Car driver Greg Leonard and his wife Vera for the David Leonard Foundation. Looking to help racers in need? That's your racer-friendly Dayton Andrews Dodge five-star dealership. Dayton Andrews Dodge, corner of 22nd Avenue, 34th Street North in St. Petersburg. It's the little drive that saves a lot and gives a little more. 727-321-0500, the number to call for Taylor Andrews at Dayton Andrews Dodge. Tell them Short Track America sent you.
And it's Real Racing USA, live from the Snook River Grill, 2505 Manatee Avenue East, in beautiful southern Tampa Bay. I'm Rick Angies.
I'm Craig Clark.
I'm Jack Smith, and I don't know what's so damn beautiful about southern Tampa Bay. I just drove 2 hours in a 50-minute ride through smoke fog to get here. I was ready to turn around and go back.
At 1 o'clock, I thought I was in a war zone. It looked like a war zone out there at 1 o'clock.
Telling you. If it is.
Smoky where you were this weekend, wasn't it, Jack?
Yeah, it was very smoky up in, what's that town? Cordell, Georgia. And I want to tell you something. I went for a ride in the afternoon. I left the track and went and explored Cordell. I know where the drive-in theater used to be, back in the weeds and woods, man. Actually found the entrance to the old drive-in theater.
The important question is, did you get any watermelons?
No, I didn't even see a watermelon. I didn't even see a watermelon.
Well, the name of the track, I mean, wasn't there the watermelon patch just past the riverbed?
Yes, and Jimmy Lang, midway through the race, decided to go find watermelon patch out there.
Did he leave the racetrack?
He went off in
Somebody
the boot-
left the racetrack.
He went off in the booties, and I think he actually got out of his car and left it there because he didn't know. He was scared.
Didn't know where he was at.
He was way off in the boonies. Yeah, Watermelon Capital is a pretty cool track, actually. It's a 4/10 mile racetrack and no walls or nothing except on the front straight. But very cool place. I'll tell you what, they had to wait to get started until the ambulance got there.
Cool. Well, we like to hear that.
Yep.
Did you, how was, you said the weather was a little.
It was 95 degrees.
Uh-huh.
Without the asphalt reflection.
Without the asphalt reflection?
Yes.
It was a little warm, Jack. Is that what you're trying to tell us?
It was beautiful.
Until the rain came?
Yeah, it rained.
The rain was quite a relief.
It rained at night, yes.
How many in the field?
There was 42 cars came to race. 25 of them were from Florida after qualifying, and they allowed two more to go in from the Concy race they ran. When it all said and done, out of 28 cars, 17 of them were from Florida. And in the end, two Georgia boys, one of whom we're going to have on tonight, Bo Slocum, stole the show. They put on quite a show. Raced door handle, beat and banged on each other for about 10, 15 laps. And Slocum finally won.
And these are young guys, right?
Yeah, they were all 21 and under. And Sean Bass came in third. He ran in third the whole night. And he actually had the lead for a moment, I believe, in the early going. But Anthony Campy started on the pole, and he was trying to get the lead. Him and Bass were going around the track side by side in the first three laps, and then there was Campy started slipping back just a little bit, got into like third or something, and him and Fontaine were beating around trying to get the inside spot. Somebody ran into both of them. It was a big wreck, and into Campy's night, lap six, was too bad because that was his second late model race he'd ever been in.
Right. I watched his first late model race.
You watched his first one at DeSoto
Speedway.
He did
really good in it, too. I was proud of him.
So, unfortunately, his night ended early. But it was a fun place. The track was, I mean, the place was really well run, and it's a racy place, let me tell you. It's racy. Definitely a cool place.
Well, you know, on message boards and stuff all over, you know, they talk about how horrible it is in the state of Florida and can't draw flies to any of the racetracks or whatever. Did you know that Iowa ranks fourth nationally in the total number of operating racetracks?
They're all dirt, too, aren't they?
Yeah. The greater majority of them are. But the guy who runs Knoxville Speedway said that if it was not for the Nationals, the Knoxville Nationals, they'd probably close the place because the fan count is down that much.
At Knoxville?
At Knoxville.
Wow.
Is that a quarter mile?
No, I think it's 3/8. I'm not sure. But it says we don't want to see any racetrack in Iowa or anywhere else for that matter be unsuccessful because of them, blah, blah, blah. But that's it's everywhere. It's not just Florida.
No, it's all over.
It's everywhere.
It's all over. It's all over. The places that are doing well, and putting a lot of people in the grandstands.
Here it is.
They have consistent management.
Half mile dirt.
Yeah,
track.
They have consistent managements, and they work at promoting. You can no longer have owners who wander around during the week spending time on a tractor cutting the grass and watching the butterflies. You got to get out.
Here it is. Ralph Capitani, Knoxville Raceway race director, said his track would be in financial trouble were it not for a big boost from the Knoxville Nationals. Weekly attendance has slipped to 1,500 in 5 years.
I don't doubt it.
It's not just here.
No. And it's stock car racing. Motorsports in general, though, I mean.
How about the weather over there?
Right?
Just the weather alone is killing everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, we're getting ready to go, you know, in 2 weeks to Tulsa.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they just had all that damage
over
in Kansas.
Yeah.
That's that Chavez dude down there in Venezuela or wherever he's from. He's screwing with the weather, man. I'm telling you.
He bought that damn Chinese weather
that's
machine,
right.
Didn't he?
He did. Absolutely.
Okay.
That was posted.
Just having a little fun with Craig. Just
that was posted on the message board by HodFan35.
Say what?
That HodFan35, he's a sprint car fan. He posted that on there, and I went and looked at it, checked it out.
I get their same.
Hey, by the way, so everybody here, all 25,000 people that are listening to this show right now know what's coming
actually,
up.
Actually, we're down. It's only 18,322 right now.
We have to get on the ball. Rex Guy, who's part of the new ownership at Auburndale Speedway, there's a new day dawning in Auburndale, and it's about damn time.
Hooray!
Yes. It'll be a party. I mean, people should throw a party because now you have some people who really care about racing instead of stuffing money in their wallet. Frank Kimmel, who 8-time ARCA champion, is putting on this big street stock race. What is it, 150 laps, Rick?
I think it's more. Yeah, I guess it is.
$10,000 to win street stock race.
Yeah.
300 entries
Kentucky
or something
Motor
like
Speedway.
That. 300 people can start the race.
Right.
He's going to be with us to explain all about the latest on that. And,
good deal.
We're going to try to talk to Rick Bristol tonight, if we can catch him, about the family, what is it called? The
Family Truckers.
Family Truckers 200 benefit race that he puts on every year in Florida at Orlando Speed World. And then Craig Clark, who is, of course, has moved in, unpacked his bags, and become a part of the Real Race in USA.
Deja vu from 8 years ago.
Over again.
Because we're slow.
Yeah, because we're slow. Of course, he is the owner of Track Rescue and does the safety for IHRA, and they rave about him at the IHRA level. They rave about him at lots of levels. But
I know a couple of raves. I've heard a couple of raves.
Funny car, what is it, 3-time world champion funny car driver, Rob Atchison, is that how
from
you say
Canada.
From Canada.
From Ontario.
Atkinson, isn't it?
And by the way, Atchison.
He's the one who's, I have his T-shirt.
Yeah, he's a very, very nice guy. His whole family is really awesome. His dad is, you know, basically his crew chief.
Right.
And they will travel all over. And, you know, we do three races in Canada. We're really the only series, the drag side, that does national
events. East, Central, and West, huh?
Correct. Over all the way to Edmonton and then as far as two in Ontario.
Everything stops when the food comes up, doesn't it? Yeah,
and
awesome.
We are at the Snook River Grill, 2505.
I'm over here trying to put commercials and stuff
Avenue
together.
And everybody else. Say what? Are you eating?
No, I'm trying to put commercials together while you guys were talking. I figured, this is a good time to throw a block together.
And then Craig's shrimp
talking,
arrives.
And then
my
the
shrimp.
Food comes,
and actually they
I hear
good
quiet.
There. We'll let you know.
We're also going to talk to Ralph Hester, who is a nationally ranked promoter in the drag racing world. He got some kind of award for being the top promoter of the year.
Racetrack of the year in Immokalee Dragway down there.
Immokalee is down in the swamps.
In the swamps.
Let me tell
and
you.
It's amazing what he will do down there, especially when they have the sportsman races and the regional stuff. And he's a very good host. Is always taking care of everyone that comes down there, and just an awesome guy.
And we have Melinda. How do you pronounce her name?
Melinda Bertazzi.
And what's she do?
She's smoking right now. Let me tell you what. She runs in both Quick Rod and Top Dragster. And her it runs in the family. She's
how
just
fast is that?
Fast enough. Top Dragster's up there, you know, 130 plus.
And we're going to be how much?
130
plus. 130
plus.
A quarter
plus mile. More than that. A lot more than that.
And we may talk to some other people, too. We'll keep you on pins and needles about that. But Rick Ariyama is going to join us and sit in with us and join the hosting crew here tonight, too.
Great.
Yeah.
We need all the help we can get.
Got that right. Rick, you know, last week we had 315-mile-an-hour top fuel dragster TJ Zizzo on the show, and he was really cool. I've listened to that interview twice.
That guy is
cool.
You should see him when he got out of the car. He jumped up on top of the roll cage, and I mean, you know, he's up there and just wound up tighter than drum, and he is really into it. They've come a long way over the years, and it's great that he's on a winning streak right now. And again, his father, you know, we talked about this last time, was it's a family sport. You know, the family's involved.
You know, if we had a really good board op, that would have been the perfect time to hear a little clip of Sly and the Family Stone.
Give me a second. I can pull it
off. You know what I'm talking about there?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, family affair.
Affair.
Wow.
Okay.
Hello.
All right. Well, we're past that now.
pick up that mic there for a minute. Rick, did you have to drive down from up North Florida to get here through this fog smoke?
Yeah, it's not too nice up there in Zephyr Hills. It's wreaking havoc on all some of the elderly people up there with, you know, respiratory problems.
I'm one of them people that's down here that's elderly. I had to get off at Bee Ridge on the way up here to go get an oxygen mask.
Stop by the local hospital.
Yeah.
It's a family affair.
Hey, we're good, man.
Yeah,
I'm telling you.
5 minutes after the conversation's changed.
Hey, I'm a little rusty. It's been 8 years. Give me a break.
All right. So what else is going on?
What else? Well, I don't know. Who's Ralph Hester?
Ralph Hester?
Yeah.
We were just talking about him.
I was busy.
Yeah, he's the
Michael.
The owner promoter. He built.
I'm trying to do 90 things at once.
Yeah, I understand. Nice. He built Immokalee Raceway, Dragway, whatever. Is it right?
I'll ask him
from
later. I thought he was going to. He was going to build a stock car track.
We'll ask him. Yeah. We'll ask him. Yeah. And we're also going to find out how much beer is going to cost at Auburndale Speedway.
$3.50 a can.
Really?
It's a going rate.
Going rate.
It's a going rate.
All right. We're working on a couple of new shows down the road with Scott McAllister, who helped us with the Pete Orr Memorial tribute show.
We got a big show coming up here early summer.
Well, before you get to that, we were talking this afternoon, and he's already working on this. We're, you know, there's so many women not just race like in stock cars or motorcycles or drag racing, but a lot of women own and are the funding behind major racing teams. And we were going over some of those. Of course, one that everybody knows is Teresa Earnhardt. But there's a lot of people like that, a lot of women who are involved in motorsports at not just behind the wheel. And we're looking to put together a show about that sort of thing. Because there's plenty of people out there. We started going through the list. It's long. It's really a long list.
No comment.
I know.
You left us speechless.
Well, because Rick is a male chauvinist. I mean, he can't help it. He's from the old school.
You ain't noticed that Junior's talking like 3 octaves higher here in the last month?
What?
He's getting squeezed.
We're all seniors.
I'm
here,
lost.
Jack.
We don't talk Nasty Car.
Okay.
What is happening, Nasty Car? Nobody got fined. Nobody's gotten a fight. Nobody's.
Tony's just whining, and Chevrolets are winning, and it's pretty boring.
Well, Tony wasn't whining. He's telling the truth.
But it's whining. Rusty's gone. You got to have somebody that's whining now. Huh?
Where's the money?
How about that new car, though?
Where's the money?
Sucks.
Have you seen one up close? I saw one in Lakeland.
No, I haven't seen him up close. Ugly.
So, Craig, are you allowed to talk about that secret stuff you do on the side?
Secret stuff, such as
when you attend safety, you handle the safety requirements for these testing episodes that occur around. Are you allowed to talk about
I thought we were going to talk about the private Mason Lodge or something.
I was going to say, you have to clarify which thing I do on the side.
Well, like Lakeland, for instance, has a lot of NASCAR drivers come in and do testing. And
we get a lot. We can't talk about it prior to them being there. After they're there, then it's, you know.
Yeah.
But it's open house on the back stretch. People can come there.
If you know it's happening.
Not all the time. Not all the time. It depends on the team. A lot of the teams, if they have an ultra super secret, you know.
Like Jeff Gordon comes in and doesn't want anybody to know what he's working on.
In a small town, usually word gets around way ahead of them coming there.
And Florida is a small town.
Through fan, message boards, et cetera, et cetera. So they will, the fans will be there. But sometimes the teams will say, look, we don't want anybody in the stands because we can't take a chance because whatever they're doing, they don't want their competitors to find out
about. They're cheating.
Well, they don't want Michael Waltrip to get a.
they don't want some guy in a stolen country western singer's bus to show up.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one. Yeah. Barry Wims did a good job on that one. Track him down.
Yeah, well, I heard Crystal Gayle's going to be leasing out her bus, in case you want to go to Lakeland.
Well, it knows how to get there, don't it?
Got that right.
It does know how to get there. And a few other places.
What's the address of that message board for Short Track America?
Oh, I don't know. You're on the internet.
Oh, there it is.
Yes.
If you go to shorttrackamerica1.com, realracingusa.com, or any of those, which you would obviously have had to if you're listening to this, then you just click on Racing Forum.
Oh, you just clicked over 19,000 people.
Too funny.
Hello, USA.
Too funny.
So, anyway, you want to take a break?
Yeah, let's do it, and then let's come back with Bo Slocum.
We can do that.
All righty.
It's no wonder everybody says nobody beats a Dayton Andrews Dodge deal. I mean nobody. They must sell 200 cars, trucks, and vans to break all sales records. In order to do that, they'll guarantee $1,000 if they can't beat any deal you bring into them on any new or used vehicle in stock. Every new Dodge drastically reduced. Every used vehicle drastically reduced. How about no money down? Take advantage of these great offers with lender's approval. $1,000 guaranteed includes rebates, and they reserve the right to buy back the vehicle from the selling dealer to give to their customer at a lower price. Ask about the $4,000 minimum trade-in allowance. Check out the Dodge Caravans, the Durangos, and the Neon. This week, Dayton Andrews Dodge is offering the lowest prices and also no money down. Call 321-0500. See that the Dayton Andrews Dodge way beats all the other ways to shop for a vehicle. 22nd Avenue and US 19 in St. Petersburg, Dayton Andrews Dodge.
CarNac.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarNac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
Evergreen Development Construction Company of Tampa is your professional site development leader along the Gulf Coast of Mexico. From tree removal to complete land preparation, Evergreen Development Construction Company prepares your land purchase for complete development, including drainage, utilities, and road construction. One call gets it all. Evergreen Development Construction Company, 813-478-8847. And watch for the Evergreen Development Construction Company late model and open wheel modified at races near you. They're fast, and so is Evergreen Development Construction Company. 813-478-8847. Evergreen.
I'm Gary LaPlante, owner of the Florida Suncoast Outlaw Street Stocks. You're listening to Real Racing USA on Short Track America.
Back on the airwaves again from the Snook River Grill in Brayton, in Florida. We are Real Racing USA. And on the line with us right now, the new sheriff in town at Auburndale, Rex Guy. Rex, how you doing?
Well, good.
Welcome, Mr. Guy. You're here with Rick Angies, Jack Smith, and Craig Clark. Now, we're all excited, and I have one thing I'm really most excited about. How much is the Budweiser?
$2.50 a can.
All right. That's
all right. Hallelujah.
All right. All right.
That's lower than the rate, than the state average.
There you go. You excited, Rex? Are you excited about this whole deal?
Oh, we're very excited. Actually, we had a good night last week.
Last week was you actually opened up last week?
We closed on the property on Wednesday, and we started racing on Saturday.
What are some of the major changes that race fans and participants can expect up at Auburndale Speedway?
Well, number one, cleaning the place up to make it like it used to be. Make it the premier track here in Florida, you know. We have all new staff on board. We have a race director, and make it a place people want to come race.
Well, I'd like to congratulate you, Rex, on a good job. We've been over there a couple of days ago, and the place is definitely looking stout. You're doing a great job with it.
Yeah, we have a lot of family, and father-in-law, mother-in-law, brother-in-law, sister-in-law. We all work hard. Matter of fact, we worked last week till 1:32 in the morning trying to get this place ready for Saturday, and had a lot of help from a lot of racers, and matter of fact, we're here working on the go-kart track tonight. Have open practice also. You know, we have a lot of plans for the people here, and, you know, this is something we want to do, and we're going to do it.
So, Rex, you guys have taken over the whole deal, the go-kart track and everything?
We own the whole place. We're doing the go-kart and the racetrack.
So my question is to you, why?
Why?
Yeah.
One time my wife comes to the racetrack to watch the kids race. She hates racing, but she likes the business aspect of it. And we sit down with the family, and here we are.
Well, you've got family that races there, right?
My kids race.
So how long, basically what I'm trying to get to is, how long have you been associated with Auburndale Speedway?
About 10 years.
10 years, and, when did you get the idea that you wanted to be an owner of this place?
Past 2 years.
Past 2 years?
Yeah, we've looked at options and all. We had a contract on it the first of the year, and things didn't work out the way we wanted it, and we pursued it, and here we are.
What are the major changes that you're looking at to do at the track?
We have to fix the grandstands. That's a must. That's something we've got to do. Basically a facelift. We've got other things down the road we want to do. One day we want to repave the track, but that's down the road. But other than that, it's just a facelift. We have the attitude changed already. We just want to keep it that way.
Are you going to bring anything in different? You know, I mean, Auburndale's basically been, you know, in-house racing, basically, you know, not a lot of traveling series coming in. Are you going to change that, or are you going to keep it that way for a while?
Oh, we have a race director. His name's Ronnie Sims, and we're looking at some things. Matter of fact, we're looking at a grand opening here shortly, and we do want to bring the late models in, the trucks, and, you know, different classes, open wheels. we're not just going to stay with the same thing week after week after week. We have to give a variety for the people here. And that's what it needs. That's what racing is about. So those are some of the things we're working at doing. It's just, you know, you can't build everything overnight. It's going to take a little time. But I know from last week till today, this place has changed 60%. So, you know, it just takes time to work these things out, and we're working very hard at it.
So you will be bringing in some traveling series, some traveling shows?
Yes, we will.
All right. Like, do you guys, TBRA race at Auburndale, right?
They used to, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a sprint car.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, we have the other sprint class on standby, too. Can't remember the name. The RC Ropers group?
Yeah.
USA Sprints, I believe.
USA Sprints.
Yeah. They're going to be coming in also. But, yeah, we hope to build the crowd like it used to. We had a decent crowd Saturday night. Very happy with the car count, you know, for the first night opening. There's a lot of people sitting out waiting to see what we're going to do. And we had some very good positive attitudes about it. So I feel like we have one of the best flags in the state. So, you know, that makes a difference, too.
Now, who are some of the people working at the track now? What changes have you made as far as people working there?
All new scores, all new staff on the track. We have Laverne, used to be the flagman at Sunshine. The man is very good. He's strict. And then Mike Ashley, we have Jeff Pop, which used to be our flagman. He's at the pit gate exit. We have several new faces here that it's a good group. They really work good together, and it's going to get better. And, you know, we're going to have a clean house of racing. You know, I don't like the beating and the banging, and, you know, we're just not going to tolerate those things.
Rex, yeah. How about, considering my background, what are you guys going to do as far as safety goes so that the drivers and the fans?
Yeah, a safety check every night. You'll have a sticker on your car. They'll be here this week. You'll roll through a safety check every night before you go on that track. There'll be a flash on it showing you've been through that night. Those pins will change every week. We will not tell you which one we're going to go with. You know, we will be very strict on safety. You know, we have two EMTs here. They're NASCAR sanctioned, and they know what they're doing. And, you know, we're going to make you go by the book. You're going to have the right equipment or you're not going to go on the track.
And Auburndale Speedway obviously is located right near Lakeland, Florida, in Central Florida. How far away do drivers come? Where do most of the drivers who race there on a regular basis come from? Are they all local, or do people tend to drive a ways to come?
Well, we have some coming in from Inverness. You know, and there's, mostly I would say they're local. We have some out of Zephyr Hills and some out of St. Pete. And it's going to get better. I think people, I know some people that were waiting to see if things were going to change, and they think some things would change, so here we are.
Well, I'll tell you, the very first time, I think it was the first or second time I'd ever been to Auburndale, was when Rick Angies and myself came up there and we did that
Dash for Cash.
Dash for Cash with the street stocks.
Or that was the first time I'd ever been.
My.
There. No, that was, I'd been there before.
It was awesome. I mean, we had a sponsor to Dash for Cash, and it was kind of like a surprise. Nobody really expected it to happen. We just showed up and said, hey, we want to do this. I'm telling you what, that place, I mean, that was full of people. There must have been.
It was rocking.
Yeah, there must have been 2,000 people there.
Let me tell you what, after working there for years, on a Saturday night, that track used to go nuts. I mean, for a flat little quarter, it would go insane, packed with people. And
I'll tell you, I saw probably some of the best demolition derbies I've ever seen.
Oh,
they had
yeah.
some killer figure eight races there.
Oh, yeah. I remember climbing over quite a few cars in that stack up.
But I tell you what, it's definitely a driver's track. I've raced on that track for about 5 years myself, and you gotta have your car set up right, you know. I mean, as far as repaving it, Rex, I don't know if I'd have to worry about that. That track's got a lot of character over the years, you know, and it's definitely a driver's track. If your car's not set up, you're not going around Auburndale.
The word is here, if you can drive Auburndale, you can drive any track there is in the state.
I've heard that.
And that's the truth.
Definitely.
If you can run this track, you can run any track.
And the walls at your track ain't no different than anybody else's walls. They don't move.
They stop you.
That's exactly right. And we're just excited about having it. You know, just we're going to make it good. And that's one thing. My father-in-law is a very picky person about details of things, and he's been here slaving every day just like we do. And, you know, we want it to look good and also run good. So maybe you guys can get over and check it out again yourself on a Saturday night.
Well, we'll be there Saturday night. I will be there this coming Saturday night for sure.
Jack just wants to go for the beer.
We'll have a Budweiser after the races are over.
Excuse me?
We'll have a Budweiser after the races are over.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
No, that's good.
Well, Jack's not driving. Can he have a Bud before?
Only in the grandstand.
Now, I remember, you know, I was saying there, the one thing that I was surprised about was the number of kids that were there. Yeah, giving some kind of feedback.
Yeah, pull them down a little bit.
There must have been, we did a little giveaway there for the kids. There must have been 300 kids.
Yeah, that was a large kid count there.
JC did a lot of giveaways here for the kids. People come in and give bikes away, and the kids like that. You know, the kids like the giveaway stuff. I have to give him credit for that.
Well, we brought a bunch of stuff from, I think East Bay gave us stuff to give away.
Yeah, we were doing some promotions for East Bay.
And there was a ton of kids there.
Yeah, buddy. It was scary.
Yeah, you were doing the giveaway. I was standing up in the tower.
It was scary.
What it's about, giving to those kids.
Yeah, so now Auburndale still has the kids' club running, the racing for the youngsters?
Yeah, they'll be racing this Saturday night.
What is that program about? What's that?
It's teaching young kids how to race, and it's a club that actually, if I remember, Bob Storr is the one that started that, and it's a good program. My kids come up to it, and it teaches them about the race car and what to do with the race car, and what they can expect on the track. And if you come over Saturday, you'll see them running. It's not as big as it used to be, but we're going to help get it back to what it used to be. That's one thing my brother-in-law and I discussed, is helping the kids sub out, getting these kids in here, even if we have to build cars for them. Because if without the kids, what are you going to have down the road? Nothing.
This is true.
Yeah, because, I mean, Auburndale was actually one of the first tracks in the state of Florida to do that kids deal.
You know, yeah.
Charlotte's followed, DeSoto's followed, but, I mean, Auburndale's been doing it a long time.
Long time.
Right. What is the age starting at for the kids' group?
I think it's 10.
You get them in the cars that young, huh?
I think it's 10 years of age.
Well, it's a good time to, you know, get kids into racing, you know, boys or girls. You know, 10 years old is the best time, most influential, and, you know, you can teach them some great discipline skills at that level.
Yeah, they started off as a novice, then they have junior, then they have senior. The novice and the juniors, they have riders, co-riders. And when you get to the seniors, you're on your own. So it's really a good deal.
All right, and let's change subject here a little bit. What about the pricing at the gate? Is that going to be affordable for most families?
Yes. We're working on some prices that we'll probably make it a family package. We're going to make some changes when it comes to that. More than likely, we'll start that at our grand opening.
Have you announced that date yet?
Pardon me?
Have you announced the date of the grand opening?
No, we're still looking at that. We don't want to interfere with any of the other tracks as far as what we're going to bring. We're going to try to bring the late models in that night, the truck, and we don't want to be in the middle of someone else's race. We want to have what we can have here.
Great. Rex,
we're looking 4 to 6 weeks.
Your tracks for the fans is still at 5640.
Still a little more work.
Rex, can you hear me? You there? Did we lose him?
Rex, you're still with us, buddy.
Still there?
Oh, yep. Yep. Can you hear us?
Cell phones, wonderful technology.
Yeah, don't you love it? So, I think we lost him.
Rex, you still there?
Yeah, I'll tell you what we're going to do, Rex.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yep. Can you hear us?
Yeah.
There we go. Now we got you.
Yeah, we're having a little problem with the cell phone technology here.
We were just saying for the fans, your track's still at 5640 State Road 542 West in Winter Haven?
Yes, it is.
All right. For all the fans, that's where you can find them. It's over there by the old Scotty's Warehouse.
Yep.
I remember that. Yep. Going there many Friday and Saturday nights.
I went in there the back way the first time I ever went there.
Yep.
I was lost as hell.
It is. Well, Rex, we appreciate talking to you tonight, and we'll come up and see you.
Yeah, come up. We'll be here all weekend. Matter of fact, we don't leave the place hardly.
All right, Rex, congratulations. Great job, and good luck.
Thank you very much.
All right, Rex Guy.
Auburndale Speedway.
Auburndale Speedway. Polk County. That's
Polk,
a problem.
It's Polk County.
That's the problem with the cell phone, Polk County cell phone.
Polk County.
Polk County cell
phone. Well, you know, the track has been what owned for the last 5 years by, and JT, you know, not to his credit, he tried to make that thing work well, but, you know, he had no racing background whatsoever at all. He knew nothing. He'd never even been to a racetrack before. Went into it totally cold, and obviously when you do that, you're going to make a lot of mistakes. And
yeah, if I recall, when we interviewed JT the first time,
yeah,
he was, like, talked into buying that racetrack, I believe, is what he said.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, exactly. Yeah, because he owns a storage unit, guys, and the guys, race guys wanted to use
his. JT an actor?
Yeah, trying to be.
Yeah, tried to be an actor.
Inspiring.
Aspiring.
And inspiring, too.
And inspiring, right.
He wasn't inverted, though.
You know, but I tell you what, you know, there's a lot of times, you know, throughout the years that tracks do change ownership, and sometimes it is for the better.
You know? Without a doubt, without a doubt. And, I mean, it should work out great for you guys.
We're hoping Rex will give us a few dates out there. We didn't want to bugle with him tonight, but we'll get a hold of him.
I believe so.
Hey, Jack.
Because I think the first time I actually ever saw the Mini Cups race in there was there at Auburndale.
Right. Yeah. Well, I raced there for about 5 years myself, and that's wonderful. It's a great track.
Okay, we're going to come back to that. Just remember that thought.
Just remember that thought, because we have somebody on the phone that Jack met, and
well, I'll tell you, I don't know a whole lot about Bo Slocum. He won the Watermelon Bowl 125, but I'll tell you this: I do know. I talked to him yesterday for a little bit. He didn't sleep for 3 days getting ready for this race. Bo Slocum is not one of these like high. He doesn't have all the big money and all of that, so he had to do this with a lot of hard work, and maybe we can find out how he did it. Bo, how you doing? Welcome to Real Racing USA.
Thank you. Thank y'all for having me. It was definitely a hard-fought battle. We daggum started working Wednesday morning, and I didn't get to sleep till Friday night after practice. And just a bunch of hard work and time, and find out who all your friends were when it came down to crunch time.
You found out who your friends were, huh?
That's right. I had a couple of people, Rusty Clanton, my crew chief, and I work out of his shop, Clanton Racing, in right south of Atlanta in Jonesboro. He lets me work out of his shop, and I help him work on legend cars and what his business is. In return, he'll help me on my late model and gives me a place to work on my car.
So you literally started putting this car together the week of the race?
No, we started. I got the chassis from Fort City on March 15th. And we took it to the racetrack on May 4th. And we stayed up for about two or three straight days trying to finish everything up. And, I mean, there's so much hard stuff on that car. I mean, I was supposed to have a carburetor about 2 weeks ago, and it never came in. And I had to call Joey Clanton. He's got a shop, their shop, Tony Townley, Zaxby's shop is about 20 minutes from us. And he let me borrow a carburetor for the race. And, I mean, just a lot of effort and hard work went into this, and it just I'm so fortunate and to have people to work around me and with me like that, and just to be able to make that race was a big feat for us.
So you get a car in March, you put it on the racetrack May 4th, you get right. Fast time May 5th, and you win the race May 5th.
Right. I mean, it was just I can't explain it. We went down there with the attitude that if we could qualify in the top five and finished in the top five with a brand new race car, we'd be definitely satisfied. And, I mean, it just turned out the way it did. And I told Rusty, I told him after the race, I said, I can't believe this. And today, I told him today, it still hadn't sunk in. Well, just how amazing it was.
Well, let me tell you, Bo, you made the whole thing exciting. Tell us about your qualifying run. Now, you were qualifying right at the end of the, I mean, you were one of the last people to qualify. Tell us about your qualifying run.
Well, we went out, and Joey Clanton used to be my crew chief when I was at Gresham Motorsports, and he used to get on me all the time about not scrubbing tires hard enough coming to in qualifying. I think I got him a little bit too scrubbed and ended up spinning out on the first lap of qualifying. come back around to the front stretch and made another run at it. And I guess all it did was just made me mad and ended up sticking it on the pole.
You stopped just short of the start-finish line as you went to make your first pass, so you had to go all the way back around to the – you drove all the way back around the track, didn't you?
Well, actually, I spun out on the front stretch, and it was on the dead lap. So I drove back to the start-finish line.
Oh, that's right.
They were hollering at not to cross the start-finish line. That would have started my time, so actually I got a full lap to get going.
So then you get fast time and draw, what, number nine pill?
Drew a number nine, had to start ninth, and they were all worried about it. That was just being my home track. I knew that you could run on the outside down there, and, I mean, we just got lucky. It got strung out in the first couple of laps, and we got on the top while everybody else was on the bottom and came to the front.
Well, now, he's no stranger to the winner's circle.
No.
125 career wins in 6 years.
That was the 125th feature win.
But you have not won in a late model at your home track until Saturday night.
I've never won a late model race at that track. Finished second, finished third, finished fifth, qualified on the pole, and just something always seemed to happen. Had motor problems last race down there, running second. It just finally came together. And that was definitely the biggest win of my career, just because, I mean, I've won so many legend car races down there being my home track, and just that meant a lot.
This just wasn't any late model race either.
Yeah.
I mean, the talent that was at that track was just unbelievable.
Well, now, it was a little bit of an unfair advantage, too, because he has Joey Clanton. Did you say Joey Clanton is your crew
chief? Joey Clanton?
No, Joey Clanton used to be my crew chief. I have his brother, Rusty, now is crew chief.
Well, those guys are no strangers to the ASA either, are they?
No strangers to the ASA or Victory Lane, by that means.
He's got some borrowed parts on that race car that belonged to Clanton.
Yeah. So when you won the race and you crossed the finish line, you come back around and you pulled up up under the flag stand and put your bumper on the front straight wall. Could you hear those fans going crazy?
Oh, they were going nuts. About half of them right there. So I come from a big family. About half of them was my family. I bet I had 30 people from my family there, and it was just, it meant so much because they could actually come to this race. It's only about an hour from where we live. So they all showed up, and I mean, it meant a lot. They were going crazy and put a little smoke in the crowd for them jumping on the roof.
I'm telling you.
It was great.
When you could hear the fans screaming as the cars are coming down for the final lap, you could hear the fans screaming over top of the roar of the race cars. It was amazing.
Yeah, well, and it was. Now, this wasn't any easy win for you. I mean, you and Matt Hawkins battled side by side for the two laps before you took the lead.
Oh yeah, it seemed like it was forever. I mean, I've raced with Matt before, and I knew what kind of racer he was, and I was going to race him clean, and I knew he'd race me clean if I got my nose up on him, he'd give me room, and he gave me room, but it was just enough. He wasn't going to give me a whole lot to work with, but I loosened him up one time, and I let him go, and I let him have it back. I wasn't going to pass him like that, and I know he wouldn't do me that way. But we just had a little bit better car than he did that night. Now, he was frustrated after the race, but, you know, I guess I would have been, too, if I'd run second and led the whole race.
Well, in the middle of the race, he had begun to pull away from the field, and then once you got in front of Bass, it was obvious you were the only car on the track that had a chance to deal with him, and you actually passed him two or three times. Once you had to go back to second because of a caution, right?
Yeah, I got around Sean. I talked to him after the race. About halfway down the back stretch, he pulled over because I called him, and he let me go around him, and I told him I appreciated it after the race. And when I got in second, they told me that he wasn't pressuring me, so I just kind of rode. I figured we'd have another caution, and we had a caution, and I caught Matt, and I mean, we had a good battle, and it was very exciting. I hope it was good to watch. It was dang sure fun to drive in.
Oh, let me tell you, it was fun to watch. It was really fun to watch because, you know, on the restarts, you would get to run and get up beside him and get underneath him on the low side and get side by side with him, and then it was just you guys going around the track, and, you know, we're down in the infield. You can't see the whole track, you know. But when you'd come back around, you're still side by side, and it looked several times like you were actually doing a little banging on each other there.
We were leaning on each other a little bit. He leaned on me, wasn't giving me any room, so I leaned back a little bit. I mean, it was just hard racing. I mean,
It was fun.
I don't think that. There's not any hard feelings there or anything, but, I mean, it was. I knew if I could ever clear him, and I cleared him one time, and the caution come out, and I thought I was in front of him, but they said, I mean, we have transponders, so they said he beat me at the line just a little bit, and he got back in front of me. That was frustrating. He was all get out. I couldn't stand it because I knew I had him, and if I could get in front of him, stay in front of him, I knew he couldn't get back around me.
So, are you going to go down to? Are you going to go to Watermelon or to? South Georgia Motorsports Park on June 2nd, I guess it is?
Yes, we will be down there. We're going to try and get away, if I can get off work one day towards the end of next week, and try and go down there and test. But if we don't, we'll be down there for the race without a doubt.
Have you raced that track too?
I raced there one time before back when I was at Gresham's Brandon Georgia Asphalt Series race down there, run third.
Any other ASA races you're planning on running?
We're going to try and run the rest of the South series. We're going to try and run the rest of the races in the Southern Division. And a couple of, we're going to try and run the Challenge race at Milwaukee and Challenge race at Bristol and Pensacola.
Oh, well, good.
The ones we can get to.
Good. That's great.
We'll definitely try and run the rest of the Southern Division races.
Have you ever raced outside of Georgia?
I've raced a legend car all over the country, but a late model by as far as I've been is Cordial and Sonoya and Peach State up in North Georgia and Anderson, South Carolina and Kinley, North Carolina, and won an ASA race at Hickory last year, actually, when I was with Gresham.
That's cool.
Yeah, so you're no stranger to the ASA deal then.
No, we ran three races last year with ASA and hope to run the rest of them this year.
Who helps you get the car there in terms of spot? Do you have some sponsors?
Just me. It's all myself. I mean, we didn't even have a trailer to get to the racetrack. I had like a 30-foot enclosed trailer that I hauled my legend car in. I said, well, my late model fit in there. We measured it, you know, Thursday, and the car was an inch wider than the inside of the trailer. So I had to call in a favor to Mr. Tony Gresham, because they have a smaller gooseneck trailer that he just, I had to call him and beg him to let me use it, and he told me that it was fine. He understood my situation. He let me borrow it. So I didn't even have a way to get to the racetrack as of Thursday afternoon. But
well, there you have it. There you have it.
Got a lot of friends.
This is the best bargain in the ASA right now in terms of sponsorship. There's no doubt about it.
Bo Slocum.
There you go,
anything
Bo.
Anything helps at this point.
Huh?
I said anything helps at this point. I mean, because I've done it all by myself. I mean, I've paid for everything that went into that race car and everything. I mean, I've been doing all the work with help of a few friends, and I was parked next to the Greshams, and the guy that used to be my crew chief that's over there, he came over to me Friday night in practice. He said, it stinks being the crew chief and the driver, don't it? And I said, it's pretty rough, because I was in and out of the car, checking stagger on tires and air pressure and getting back in the car, making changes. It was all worth it.
Bo, what's it cost to go to, not in terms of the car or anything, but if, you know, what's it cost to go to one of these races? What's it cost the team?
We got it figured with full expense to go to, this race wouldn't cost us as much. It's only an hour from the house, but, I mean, if we got on average to run 15 races this year, it probably cost about $5,000 a race. Once you pay food, hotel bills, and couple of sets of tires and everything, we figured $4,000 to $5,000. Yeah.
So what did you win Saturday night?
With the pole award and everything else, I won $3,200. I'm still in the hole.
About $1,800. Actually, probably be a little more than that because the bar tab, I'm sure, after it was all said and done, you had to pick that up.
I was too wore out, dude.
He was too. Well, I'll tell you, they wore you out taking your picture, but I tell you, Bo, you may have only took in 3,200, but a whole lot more people across America know your name. And, man, we really hope that somebody comes forward with some sponsorship because you certainly deserve it.
Damn sure got $1 million worth of publicity.
That's right.
I appreciate it. I appreciate everything y'all did for me.
All right,
Thank you, Bo.
We're looking forward to seeing you again in South Georgia Motorsports Park, New Smyrna, DeSoto Speedway.
That's right. We'll be there.
All right, man.
All right, well, I hope to talk to you soon after the race, too.
Thanks a lot,
Bo. Have a good night. Thanks.
All right, thank you all.
Bo Slocum. Mm-hmm.
The winner.
Yeah, that was a pretty. It was pretty exciting. Of course, you know.
You know, you talk to a lot of drivers.
Knowing what he had to go through to accomplish it makes it.
You know, borrow parts. Yeah. You know, I mean, but. Yeah, that's what Circle Tracks Racing is all about. You know, everybody does come together and help.
It's all about that, but, you know, like, we talked to a lot of drivers that win a lot of big things, like Jeff Schofield. You know, he's got the major sponsors. Of course, he's excited and all that, but nothing like this guy.
Nothing.
No, I mean, because, you know, he had to dig. Not saying anything bad about Schofield or Jimmy Cope or any of them guys. This guy's earnest and honest about it, and he's still on cloud nine.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I was talking to Sean Bass, because Sean's very similar to this. I mean, maybe a little better funny, you know, but not much. I told Sean after I was getting ready to do that interview with him after the race, and I told Sean, I said, Sean, there's why you came in third. I point to his trailer. He says, what are you talking about? I said, you need a big stacker hauler, man. That's what you got to do to win.
Yeah, but I tell you what, with these independent teams like that are on definitely a low budget, to win like that, it's definitely a very gratifying feeling for these guys.
It's amazing, and we'll have a whole lot more about the ASA
tomorrow night.
Late model series tomorrow night at 8 o'clock on the ASA Fastlane Short Track America.
I'll be tuning in for that. You want to take a quick break?
Yes.
Evergreen Development Construction Company of Tampa is your professional site development leader along the Gulf Coast of Mexico. From tree removal to complete land preparation, Evergreen Development Construction Company prepares your land purchase for complete development, including drainage, utilities, and road construction. One call gets it all. Evergreen Development Construction Company, 813-478-8847. And watch for the Evergreen Development Construction Company late model and open wheel modified at races near you. They're fast, and so is Evergreen Development Construction Company. 813-478-8847. Evergreen.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Discount Airline Pilot Guy.
Mr. Discount Airline Pilot Guy.
Your minimal experience flying a plane will never land you at a reputable airline. Luckily, you don't work for one.
Look at me, I'm flying.
Sure, we're concerned for our lives. Just not as concerned as saving $9 on a round trip to Fort Myers.
Oh!
The most direct route to Houston? Through Fort Lauderdale, with layovers in Detroit, Vancouver, and Kalamazoo.
I can't feel my legs.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, skipper of the skies. You put the fly in fly-by-night operation.
Mr. Discount Airline Pilot Guy.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Dayton Andrews Dodge is closing out 2006 in racer-friendly style. Dayton Andrews Dodge on the corner of 22nd Avenue and 34th Street in St. Petersburg, just off I-75, is offering great racer specials for the end-of-year savings. Buy now any new or used car, truck, or van at Dayton Andrews Dodge and tell them you heard it here on Short Track America. They'll send $500 of your racer special deal to sprint car driver Greg Leonard and his wife Vera for the David Leonard Foundation. Looking to help racers in need? That's your racer-friendly Dayton Andrews Dodge five-star dealership. Dayton Andrews Dodge, corner of 22nd Avenue, 34th Street North in St. Petersburg. It's the little drive that saves a lot and gives a little more. 727-321-0500, the number to call for Taylor Andrews at Dayton Andrews Dodge. Tell them Short Track America sent you.
Hi, I'm Rob Partolo, driver of the 93 ASA late model, and you're listening to Real Racing USA on Short Track America.
Are we back?
We're back.
Oh,
you didn't bring me my damn disc, did you?
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
We're back. I can start working.
Oh, my God. We always get behind.
Wow.
We always get behind.
Well, we're not into the second hour yet.
We got
time. We're feeling pretty good.
All right, Rick, you got a
co-host? Go ahead, bring us back in.
Hey, welcome back. You're listening to Real Racing USA.
I love it when you just throw things at people.
You're on!
Live from the Snook River Grill.
That's what he did to me about 10 years ago. He goes, hey, guess what we're doing next week? I said, what? We're going to do a radio show from the pier.
Yeah,
that's how I found it. About 5 days before we did it, that's how I found out about it.
Yeah, we're in the boat in the pier. Hey, guess who I have on the phone right now?
Who do you have?
I don't know. I forgot. Now I got Frank Kimmel on the line.
Go ahead,
Frank. You there?
Yeah, I'm here. Boy, I feel important now.
8-time ARCA champion, but even more importantly right now, the guy who's putting on the biggest blue-collar race in America.
What's that now?
You're not only the 8-time ARCA champion, but you're putting on the biggest blue-collar race in the United States.
Well, it's definitely on the biggest track. I hope it turns out to be the biggest, but, I can't wait for it. It's just a couple of weeks away, and we've gotten tremendous response, and it's just getting really exciting right now for it.
Well, we've talked to a few people down here in Florida that are heading up there, some people from North Carolina. I mean, they got to be coming from all over the country.
Yeah, the furthest one, I think, is from out in California. I've got a couple of cars coming from California, so we're excited about that.
Well, approximately, what do you believe the car count will be?
Well, right now we have, I was up last week, about a week ago Monday, it was 115 paid entries. I'm really hoping to get 150. I think that would be a really good number for us. Right now we already have 115, so that's enough to put on a great show, and just can't wait to get them out there and let them go to business.
I put a race together here in Florida, and I've done a couple, been part of a few other races, and I know that the pull in the pre-entries is really nothing compared to what shows up at the track day of the race, so I think you're going to have a great count.
Well, we really hope so, and, we're looking forward to the guys coming and, getting the opportunity to go. We had a great test about a month ago, and the guys did really well, had one spin out the whole day, so it's looking really, really good right now.
So explain the race, the laps, and the whole deal with it.
Well, it's going to be a 100-lap race, which is 150 miles. There will be a stop at lap 51 where they can come in and add fuel, and, they don't have to be in a rush about it. We're actually just going to stop the race, let them come back out. We'll put them in order so that people can tell where everybody's running, and restart the race on lap 52 and race to the 100. And it looks really, really good. And the tires are working well. There's no, tire issues whatsoever. And the gear rule's working out great. It's keeping the motors together. So I think that we're looking to put on a really good show.
So now, as far as the tire rule, is everybody required to run the same brand of tire?
That's correct. Yeah, we're all going to be on Hoosier Comanches, which is very popular in our area here in the southern Indiana, Louisville, Kentucky area. It's the tire that we run at Salem and Winchester and at the old Louisville Speedway, and it's a hard treaded tire that Hoosier makes. It slides around. They call it a Comanche because it falls, but it does exactly what we want it to do. Your cars aren't stuck to the ground, so we don't have to worry about breaking hubs and spindles and rear axles and things like that.
Now, are you going to run this like enduro rules, or are you going to have cautions and such?
Oh, we'll definitely have cautions. It is an enduro, but we're definitely going to have cautions and clear the racetrack. It's it is an enduro, but it's also a mile and a half racetrack. So we have to be very respectful of the amount of speed that's going to be on the racetrack and things like that. So we'll clear the track and get it out so people can go and race hard.
Now, the question I got to ask, does Frank Kimmel have a car?
I really do have a good one. Pretty interesting. I built a car for my son this year, Frankie, and he just turned 16 last August, and we built a car to run up here at the Salem Speedway. And interesting side note that we went to Winchester, which is a track in middle Indiana that's very much like Salem and a high bank half mile racetrack, and he had never been there before, and he won his first bomber feature up there, a 50 lapper. So it was a great race, past the guy that had won the 5 previous races there at the track, and on the last lap in traffic, and it was just a really exciting day for him. But it's a good race car, and but we're not going to be in it, and I'm not going to have a family member in it or anything like that. It's I'm going to be busy enough not to have to worry about a race car, I'm sure.
All right. Well, Frank Kimmel's been racing many, many years. How many more years do you think you're going to go, Frank?
I just turned 45 back in April, and I feel very good driving a race car. I'm very confident, and health wise and physically wise, I think I'm still doing a good job. And as long as I've always said, as long as I can keep going and do a good job behind the wheel, I'll be running ARCA for a few more years anyway.
Well, we watched a race at Lakeland. Now that was a physically challenging race.
It really was. I mean, that was a battle for us. Our car didn't run very well, and it was a lot of beating and banging going on out there. But that's what it's all about. That's a lot of fun, and we come out of there, and I think ended up sixth or seventh or something. It seems like, and just had a good day all along. Good short track racing. That's what it's about.
That was some serious short track racing there.
Frank, how did it come about that this race? I mean, were you guys just sitting around one day and this come up, or I mean, how did it come about that you created this race?
I was actually driving home from Talladega Speedway. We had raced there, and I'd watched a short track, a dirt track race the night before, and I was just as you're daydreaming as you're driving along, trying to stay awake, and I was thinking about how good the street stock race was at Talladega and how the guys were running side by side and how hard they ran and never touched and just did a really good job. And I thought, boy, it's a shame that, some of the guys that are racing in that little dirt track right across the road from Talladega Super Speedway will never get the opportunity to go over there and race. And, I thought, they never get the opportunity to go race at a place like Kentucky or any place like that. And I thought, man, that's just a shame. And, maybe we can put a deal together where those guys who are just really good racers can go and show their talents and show their ability to build a good race car and race on a mile-and-a-half racetrack. So I got with the people at Kentucky Speedway. At first, I figured they'd laugh me out the door and said, no way we're going to do anything like that. But they said, well, let's see how we can get them slowed down and make them safe and make them build good race cars. And maybe we can put on a good show. I really feel like we will.
Well, I think they said that Frank Kimmel thinks this is cool, everybody else is really going to think it's cool.
Yeah, and,
Are you there?
And not only. By the way, Frank, I was just looking on the ARCARacing.com website, and you've snuck up into the points lead.
I think your mic's not working, Jack. Did we? Oh, we lost Frank.
Oh.
We'll get him back on there.
Yeah. Yeah, Frank's leading the points.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's.
Would you expect anything different?
Yeah, he's got a 40-point lead on.
Ooh.
Justin.
What was their last?
Justin Allgaier. I guess that's how you pronounce it.
Allgaier. I don't remember that name at Lakeland.
Yeah, he's got six starts. Justin does, but Frank hasn't won.
No.
Yeah.
Frank, we got you back.
Yeah, sorry about that. I had a faulty wire in my headset, maybe.
Yeah, okay. I was just looking on the ARCARacing.com website, and it looks like you've snuck up into the lead in the points race in 2007.
Yeah, it's been a battle this year. We're not running up to what I think we should, and there's other guys that have been doing very well. But to come out and get back in the point lead after this week at Winchester is a great feeling, the car ran good at Winchester. Had another good short track race, and just came out of there with a good strong third place finish. We're happy to be back in the point lead.
There's something that I don't think enough people make enough big enough deal about. John Ford, seven-time champion, Dale Earnhardt, seven-time champion, Formula One, six-time champion, such and such. You're the only eight-time champion in motorsports.
I appreciate that. That is it's very nice, and we're very fortunate to have won a championship, much less eight now. I've always felt like you're only as good as your last race, and we finished third last race, so we got to keep going.
I'm back to the race in Kentucky.
Yeah.
How do you slow? How you had said you had to work out with Kentucky? How you slowed the car? How do you slow the cars down?
Well, we've done several things. We've mandated cast iron exhaust manifolds, cast iron intake manifolds, straight plug cylinder heads. the biggest thing we did, we also ran a 4412 two-barrel carburetor with the choke horn still on it, pretty much untouched style carburetor. But the biggest thing we've done, two of the things, was a gear rule, which you only can run a 275 or 273 rear gear, and you have to run in a one-to-one transmission, so you should turn right around 5,000 RPMs if your cars are running good. That and our 4 foot by 8 inches wicker bill that we've built, that you have to buy from a manufacturer that we've approved, that goes right across the top of the race car. That's been the biggest deterrent for speed, and it also makes for some great drafting. The cars can draft like you just wouldn't believe because of that big wicker bill on top of the car.
Now, are you allowing the any kind of car, Camaros, or is it full frame, or what's the deal with that?
We're the older style Camaros, like the 81, 82 model Camaros, are going to be allowed to run. They must have rear leaf springs and stock suspension in the front and things like that, stock spindles and hubs and rotors, and the 108-inch wheelbase, minimum wheelbase, keeps out the newer style Camaros and stuff, and we didn't want to get into a struck car or anything like that because they didn't have a good way to police some of that stuff. So pretty much the older style street stocks, sportsman cars from some 20 years ago will be the ones to use.
Now, who do you got teching this thing?
Actually, it's going to be myself and my brother and some of our team members here at the ARCA Race Shop. We've got some friends and relatives and everything that are all going to that we actually had them at the test. It was kind of a test run for our tech people, if you will, and so they were able to learn what we were going to try to mandate and keep intact.
So that's awesome, man. I mean, you're going to be totally hands on with this.
Absolutely. I mean, it's not a name deal that somebody just asked me to use my name, which wouldn't have been worth a whole lot, but this is our race. It's mine and my brothers and my family, and we're putting it on. We were there at the tech line during the test, showing the tech people exactly how we wanted things to be looked at. And of course, our main absolute number one concern is safety. We're one of the things I think this race will bring about will be some really good street stocks and bombers that people will learn how to mount their seats and build a better roll cage and use a good door plate and things like that. So I think that's all going to work out really, really well.
You might come up with a national set of rules for street stocks or bombers or something.
Well, that's very interesting that you said that, because there has been some interest in that, and there's also been some interest at some other racetracks to do something very similar to this. And I think this is something that can grow into something, and it's, as you said, a blue-collar type race where a local guy can build his race car in his backyard and come and go race. And I can see it growing into something bigger and better.
And it's always about education too. It's showing everybody this is the way it needs to be done, and through experience that we've learned and testing. And
absolutely, I think that the Earnhardt death a few years ago has really brought safety into the forefront. And everyone that traps into a race car, I don't care whether it's a cage cart, go kart, all the way up to a full-size Winston Cup-style race car, you should be wearing a Hans device or some size of head and neck restraint.
Amen to that.
Your belts need to be mounted properly, and you should have good seats in the cars. And it does cost a little extra money to go first class when it comes to your seat and stuff. But
what's your safety worth?
A set of tires, and you go from being a very poorly constructed seat manufacturer to a good racing seat with good belts.
Right. What's your safety worth to you?
I'm sorry?
What is your safety worth to you?
Exactly. I mean, people, especially nowadays with everything that we know and all the great availability of knowledge and stuff on how to mount your belts and things like that. And that was the only thing that at the test that we had some trouble with was too old a belt in some cars. And we actually even had some belts that were up to date, but they looked like they'd been left outside during the winter and things like that, and they were kind of dry rotted and stuff, and we weren't let those go on a racetrack either. And
that's real important. The series, has to step up and say, look, guys, we're not going to accept this because this is substandard according to the current practices, and, you just have to do that for everyone's safety.
Well, I think it's – and all the guys took it very, very well. I mean, for the most part, I'll have to say 99% of everyone did very, very well with our constructive criticism of their race car and the way that it was built. And they know that we were trying to do it to make them better and safer.
Well, I think the death of Dale Earnhardt definitely opened up a lot of people's eyes all over this country on the issues of safety.
Well, it changed the whole face of motorsports.
Correct.
It changed.
Absolutely.
It was one of the things that changed the whole face.
Frank, what is the date of the event again?
It's May the 26th, coming up here just in about 3 weeks. And the Saturday night race, we're going to Friday, we're going to have an all-day tech day. There will be no on-track activity at all on Friday, and then Saturday we'll continue with tech all through the day and into the early afternoon. And then we'll have a two-hour test session where guys can go out and do a little running on the racetrack, and then we'll stop them and get them, start lining them up, and drop the green around 8 o'clock.
All right, Frank. We really appreciate you taking the time. I know you're a busy guy, and we really appreciate you taking the time to bring us up to date, and we look forward to this event, man. This is it's really, I can't tell you how cool it is for somebody of your stature to take the time to care about these guys enough to put something like this together.
And it shows that Frank still goes back to his roots.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, this is where we're from, and I just got done welding up some stuff, exhaust system on my son's bomber. We got to get it ready to go again this weekend. So,
there you go.
Yeah, it's what race is all about, in my opinion. The Saturday night, Friday night guy that's working his butt off to try to get there and go race, and we're just excited that they're going to have this opportunity.
Well, we definitely want to talk to the winner of this race too.
Absolutely.
All right, Frank. Thanks a lot, brother.
Thank you, Frank.
Thank you, Frank.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
All right. He's just so awesome to talk to, man.
Good guy. Good guy. I think we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with Funny Car Champion. No? Oh, we're going to talk to the promoter. No?
No?
It's a secret.
Never
mind. Rick, take us to a break here. I need some coffee.
Evergreen Development Construction Company of Tampa is your professional site development leader along the Gulf Coast of Mexico. From tree removal to complete land preparation, Evergreen Development Construction Company prepares your land purchase for complete development, including drainage, utilities, and road construction. One call gets it all. Evergreen Development Construction Company, 813-478-8847. And watch for the Evergreen Development Construction Company late model and open wheel modified at races near you. They're fast, and so is Evergreen Development Construction Company. 813-478-8847. Evergreen.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Underwear Inspector Number 12.
Mr. Underwear Inspector Number 12.
Whether it be tidy whiteys or banana hammocks, you're the one who makes sure our skivvies cut the mustard.
Riding.
You make sure the door is fastened with secure seams so that the cow doesn't get out of the barn when it shouldn't.
Don't let it out.
Dedicating yourself to a craft others might poo-poo, you can pass every single man on the street and say with pride, "You there, you're wearing my underpants."
Oh, yeah.
And no, I don't want them back. So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Eagle Eyes, because we're all glad you've got your hands in our shorts.
Change them every day.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Dayton Andrews Dodge is closing out 2006 in racer-friendly style. Dayton Andrews Dodge on the corner of 22nd Avenue and 34th Street in St. Petersburg, just off I-75, is offering great racer specials for the end-of-year savings. Buy now any new or used car, truck, or van at Dayton Andrews Dodge and tell them you heard it here on Short Track America. They'll send $500 of your racer special deal to Sprint Car driver Greg Leonard and his wife Vera for the David Leonard Foundation. Looking to help racers in need. That's your racer-friendly Dayton Andrews Dodge five-star dealership. Dayton Andrews Dodge, corner of 22nd Avenue, 34th Street North in St. Petersburg. It's the little drive that saves a lot and gives a little more. 727-321-0500, the number to call for Taylor Andrews at Dayton Andrews Dodge. Tell them Short Track America sent you.
Bobby Deal with Fast Media Group. You are listening to Short Track America.
All right, welcome back to Real Racing USA here on the Karnak Network. I think we have on the phone right now somebody from a little bit south of us here, Immokalee Regional Raceways owner Ralph Hester.
How you doing?
Good. How you doing tonight?
Fine, buddy. How you doing?
Good. We're just here chatting and talking a little bit about you got quite the track down there. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, I built it 7 years ago, about 7.5 years ago. Built it on the outstrip. What we done was cut out the asphalt and put out in concrete all the way down. We're an eighth of a mile track, so we got concrete all the way.
That's awesome, and in this sport too with drag racing, that's an important step. But you're one of the fastest 8 mile tracks anywhere.
Yes, sir. We try to, you know, we had a company come in and laze it when we poured it, and that means all in the world, you know, to make it real smooth for people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The smoother the track, the more speed.
Definitely. Tell us about. You get the Pro-Am Tour, which I see you at some of the national events. And let me tell you, Ralph Hester is quite the gentleman. He's an excellent host. But you host the Pro-Am, the Summit, IHRA Summit Pro-Am Tour down there. And how many cars?
We have the first Pro-Am every year. They give us the first one. We always call it, we make it a season opener. And we try to roll out the red carpet for a lot of people to come to start off the racing season in February. We usually have a big party going on, and you know, we make a whole week of it. We try to kind of let the whole town know what Pro-Am racing's all about, and we always like to start it out and hope everybody can continue what we do all the way through the season to make it a good Pro-Am season.
Right. How many cars do you get usually in that size?
We had a little over 200 this year. Right at 200 this year.
Right, and for the fans who don't know, you're right in the swamps, aren't you?
Yes, sir. I'm 30 miles from Naples and Fort Myers. We're a little east of them, in a little town called Immokalee. It's nothing but a produce town is all it is, which it's been a good town for me.
Good home country cooking up there.
Sir?
He's got some good country cooking down there.
Oh, yes, sir. We got some good country restaurants in town. Feed good.
We heard you're pretty good cook too.
We try to cook a lot. We try to feed everybody. You know, we always try to do it. We have two big races a season, really. Well, we have IHRA gives us the Pro-Am race of the year, and then in November we have a big money race. We use what you call a winter warm-up series in the state of Florida. We'll start the first weekend of November, and then they go to Bradenton, then they go to Moroso. So we always start that season, you know, that series off, and we always have a big time. Usually race 4 days that time.
Now, Ralph, you built this track yourself, right, about 8 years ago or so?
Yes, sir. I was watching TV one night, and they had 60-some kids that were caught drag racing in the street over in Cape Coral, which is about 30 miles from here. And the next night I was talking to some deputy sheriffs, and they were saying, you know, they didn't have nowhere for them to go, you know, to race. And then the next day, I got my own airplane, and I was taking off, and they were putting the X on this runway, and I found out that they were closing that runway down, and one thing led to another, and about 45 days, we were racing.
And then after you got this thing going, from what I understand, you've won some national awards for your efforts in promotion of the track.
2 years ago, I got Track Promoter of the Year, and then last year, I got Pro-Am Track of the Year.
And that's from how many tracks? That's almost over.
About 90 tracks, you know, is in the IHRA.
90 tracks nationwide, and you were Promoter of the Year.
Yes, sir.
That speaks a lot right there.
Now, did you have any other background in racing?
No, sir. I used to be involved in Stacy Compton was a friend of mine from up in Virginia. My home is up next to Virginia Line. It's a little track up there called South Boston Speedway, which a lot of the Ward Burdens and Jeff Burden, Elliot Sala, Stacy Compton. I used to sponsor Stacy Compton for 3 years on a round track. And when I come to Florida and open up an office, I kind of got out of the round track business, and which I always enjoyed it, but this opportunity to come up and I built a drag strip.
Build it and they will come, right?
Yes, sir. We have a good crowd. We draw a lot of people. We draw a lot of people from West Palm Beach and Miami over in that area. We draw a lot of people from Naples and always Tampa. We get a lot of racers come down from Tampa to race with.
I know quite a few drivers right here in Bradenton that come down there.
Right. We got a lot of good following of people. One thing about it, if you build something and treat people right, they'll come back to see you, you know. You go out of your way. It's like any kind of business. You got to treat people like you want to be treated, and then you will automatically get people to come back to see you.
Did you follow anybody's ground rules or anything to run your track?
Sir?
Did you follow anybody else's, you know, ways of running a racetrack, or did you just decide this is the way I'm going to do it?
Well, I decided this is the way. I went to a lot of tracks. When I started building this, I would go to different tracks, kind of see what other people done. And, you know, you hear a lot of talk in the business. A lot of tracks you go to, the promoter that never come down and meet the people, walk down through the pit, shake their hands and tell them to appreciate them coming to see them. You know, you hardly ever see some of these track owners. You go to a track and you don't see them. Well, you know, it's nothing but a business point of it. You go into any hardware store, when you see the man owns it, it's helping you, you're going to go back to that hardware store. So that's the way I feel about racing. If you treat people like you want to be treated, they'll keep coming back to see you.
Amen.
No doubt about it.
So, I mean, Ralph, what are some of the other big races you have coming up?
We have a Kuma race every year. IHRA gives us a Kuma race. We have the first Kuma each year too. That's a big deal for us. And plus, we're gonna have a Night of Fire this year. That'll be in October, and then after that we'll have the big race in November coming up.
Tell the fans what the Night of Fire is for those that don't know.
Night of Fire is when they bring in the jet trucks and some fast cars, and you know, like this year, our plans are. I don't know if a lot of people's never been to my track, but when I built it, on the property I built it on, the airport said I had to have it so I could move it in within 48 hours if something happened. So I built a tower on top of a semi-trailer, and it's still there today, but now they've changed it, and I can put a permanent structure there. So we're in the process now of getting all the bids in to build a new tower, and I hope in October that the Night of Fire was going to burn down the existing tower.
Who are you going to have for the truck?
Moats is going to be there with the
oh God! He did the same thing in North Carolina. He leveled the tower.
Done the same thing at Rockingham.
And Rockingham, burn it to the ground, just level.
Yeah, and that's what we're planning on doing in October. We're gonna try to have everything ready in place. So when he pulls up to the line to do his Night of Fire, he can actually burn the tower down.
So basically, are you leasing the property there?
Burn the tower down.
From the county.
Yeah, he's gonna have Vern Motes come down and burn the tower down.
Yeah,
because it's a temporary tower. So
Bob Motes,
rather, yeah.
Number one jet truck in the world.
Go ahead. Yeah. Okay.
He puts on a good show too. He really does.
Yeah, I've known him for many, many years.
So how much property is there right there around there? I mean.
The Hopwood sits on 3,000 acres, but probably I've got about 75 acres there that I lease from the Airport Authority.
Any other plans for any other kind of racing down there?
Yes, sir. We've had plans. We've got drawings of circle tracks and motocross tracks and all, you know, that we've done 2 or 3 years ago. But at this time, you know, I don't know if we're going to move to another location, but they've definitely said, you know, if something happened, they had to get off that existing place. Then we're going to furnish the land somewhere else to build something else. So I'm kind of waiting to see what that does before I go step out any farther.
Now, didn't it come pretty close, though, to opening up a circle track down there?
Well, that was myself when we first built this one. We were going to build a circle track in it, and they approved it and all. But the only problem is, if you build a circle track, you need to be able to know that you're going to be there at least 10 to 15 years, you know.
Absolutely.
It's falling in some acres on the back of this property that, you know, that I'm definitely, you know, if something happens the way I'm at now, I can move on the backside.
You got to think a 3/8 mile track down there, a 3/8 mile
with rock
would that with good banking down there would just be killer. It would be killer.
Well, it would be. I mean, you know, you take I used to do a hip a lot in the pits and up in North Carolina and with a friend of mine that run he had two cars he run and. South Boston is probably one of the prettiest little tracks it is, you know, up in Virginia. And that's a high bank, you know, 3/8 of a mile. A little 3/8 of a mile high bank oval will draw a good crowd, you know.
Hey, we're talking to Ralph Hester now. He owns a Mockley drag strip down there. Now, Ralph, you know, with the closing of Hialeah down there, you know, south of you, I mean.
Palm Beach, Miami, Lauderdale.
It's wide open.
They've all closed down.
Yeah,
yes,
over
sir.
The years, yeah.
Yeah, that would be an awesome deal right there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Ralph, it's been a pleasure talking to you, man.
Man, and, I appreciate y'all calling me. And listen, you got one of the best guys I know of in this business that takes care of rescue at all the IHRA tracks. If it wasn't for him, I don't know, a lot of these people probably wouldn't race, but he's probably the best in the business of taking care of people.
Yeah, you must be talking about our friend Craig Clark. His head is starting to glow, Ralph.
I tell you what, Craig does a terrific job, and I met him a few years ago, and I go to a lot of these national events, and he's always there, and he's always got his crew in the right place at the right time. I don't know how he does it, but he's smooth operator. I'm just proud to know him.
Well, thank you, Ralph, and the feeling's mutual. We think you're a great track operator too, and we'll see you at the next race you can get to.
Yeah, we'll be down there this summer. We'll send myself and some other folks from Karnak will come down and.
Yeah, I'll even come down and help them.
One of your Saturday nights. There you go.
Sunday race.
When you want to come, and we'll have a light at the races down here for you. I mean, for your radio show, we'd be glad to do it.
All right.
All right, Ralph.
We'll work it out. Good deal.
Okay.
All right, Ralph. Thanks. Have a good night.
Thank you, Colin.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right. Cool dude. I was almost needing for you to break out those ear things you brought with you, though.
No, that's true. That's true.
He's you know,
a
great if we
yeah, he's a great
Rick,
guy.
Rick, before we go to break, I know we're going to take a quick break, but, you know, we in the first half hour that we lost of last week's show with our power failure, we were talking about the fact that Craig is in his 25th year of doing motorsports safety. He started track rescue 25 years ago. And, Craig, did you have any hair back then?
No.
No, it was fading. Even
I lost it then.
Yeah, gotcha.
He didn't have any damn hair when he cost me that demolition derby.
Well, after gray, hair is gone.
That's right.
So
it turned gray and then it fell out.
In 25 years of doing drag racing safety, stock car racing safety, stunt racing,
sprint cars, offshore,
all of it. Offshore boat racing,
motocross, enduros, demo derby.
You have seen some stuff.
Mud bogging.
When are we doing a book? This looks like a book to me.
Yeah. This could be.
This could be.
Memoirs.
My life.
I wish I'd just stop and think about all the times we've had drivers and in situations and, you know, able to get them out of a bad situation. The advancements in safety equipment, too, have really come quite a long way. You as a racer too,
right?
You know, I've seen we've just touched a little bit on the head and neck restraints, and you know now they make it mandatory in our series and as well as the others, and they should.
Well, it's mandatory in my series too. Definitely, they got to run some kind of Hans device. It don't have to be that $1,000 unit, you know, but they can.
We got the kids running in the Magic Force on the little truck at the little track at DeSoto.
Yeah, it's. We had a there was a fairly significant crash in Toronto last year, and it was in a top fuel, and the driver was wearing a head and neck restraint, and
right.
This was prior to the mandate, and we estimate that he took off from the line, went immediately into the left wall and then immediately into the right wall. And, you know, even in 60-foot mark, they're already over 100 miles
over
an hour.
Over 100, well over 100.
So at that point, he was probably 150 or more into the wall. And I told him that afterwards that we were having this conversation because he had the proper safety equipment and a good cage on the car, you know, good fire suit, head and neck restraint, the whole nine yards. I mean,
yeah, but that's really only part of it. You know, without the good safety team like what you guys have and what you do, yeah, you're there for all of us. And, you know, we all got to thank you. And Lord knows at DeSoto Speedway 3 years ago, I hit the wall head on, and I'm still mashing on the gas pedal until the safety crew come over there and shut my car off because I didn't know where I was at. And I tell you what, they got me out with every bit of the care. And my wife was, you know, it takes a lot to rattle her cage. And when I got back to the pits and I seen the tears in her eyes, I guess I knew I'd hit the wall pretty good. But, you know, I got to say thank you for guys like you.
Well, we appreciate it. And, you know, it's those situations like that. You didn't prepare for that. I mean, you have all your equipment, but you knew that.
Don't pay no attention to him. Do not pay any attention.
Don't pay any attention to the man behind the mirror.
I know what he was doing.
And we'll be right back here listening to Real Racing USA.
Evergreen Development Construction Company of Tampa is your professional site development leader along the Gulf Coast of Mexico. From tree removal to complete land preparation, Evergreen Development Construction Company prepares your land purchase for complete development, including drainage, utilities, and road construction. One call gets it all. Evergreen Development Construction Company, 813-478-8847. And watch for the Evergreen Development Construction Company late model and open wheel modified at races near you. They're fast, and so is Evergreen Development Construction Company. 813-478-8847.
Evergreen.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Footlong Hot Dog Inventor.
Mr. Footlong Hot Dog Inventor.
When conventional wisdom said no one could make a hot dog longer than 6 inches, you dared to dream.
Dared to dream.
You knew the limitations of a regular size hot dog bun, and you ignored them.
Can't stop me now.
You made a 10-inch wiener, and people cheered.
Oh.
But you weren't satisfied. You said, wait, I think I can still give you 2 more inches.
Gotta want it.
And so the footlong was born. So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Hot Dog Hero, because you gave every single one of us our fondest wish. A bigger wiener. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
McAllister Sports Management is a full-service firm specializing in all aspects of motorsports communications. Specific services include website development, program management, sponsorship acquisition and development, public relations, promotions, corporate hospitality, and strategic marketing. We can design, produce, and distribute autograph cards, feature stories, and arrange photo and video opportunities. We help you maintain a continuous contact with local, regional, and national media. For more information, log on to McAllisterSportsManagement.com or call 352-804-0078.
Hi, I'm Wayne Jefferson, driver of the number 1 open wheel modified and number 94 super late model. And you are listening to Short Track America.
And welcome back to Real Racing USA. Rick Angie, Jack Smith, and some guy that runs the safety crew.
Craig Clark.
Snook River Grill.
Some guy.
Yo, Bobo, right here on the tag. Where'd you find this guy?
100 miles away.
Hey, they check this out.
And we've got the no listening earpiece on.
Yes, all right, we practice safe audio.
All right, who's next? Who
hey,
we got?
You know who
up?
I have on? Let's kick this up a few more miles per hour. I've got a guy that's. Take it to the limit.
Turn your microphone on.
250 miles an hour.
At least. If not more.
That's taking it to
the
limit.
And let me tell you
Wait, before you introduce, I'll tell you what. Remember, I went to this big event, the first time I'd ever been to a major drag racing event, and I bought one shirt.
And whose shirt did he buy? The guy that I'm about to announce, who's a great friend of ours. He's our brother from Canada, Rob Atchison.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How you doing up there?
Oh, pretty good.
So tell us a little bit. You're getting ready for our upcoming national event in Tulsa, but you have some other things going on too, don't you?
Yeah, we're going to go testing this weekend at our local track at Grand Bend, and then we're going to head down to Norwalk, Ohio, for the Division III race. So going to get a bunch of test laps in and try some new stuff out and see if we can get it picked up a little bit.
Let me tell you what, his home track there in Grand Bend is one of the nicest tracks that we go to.
Toronto?
No, Grand Bend. It's on the other side of Ontario.
Oh, okay.
It's over towards London, Ontario.
Oh, yeah.
But it has a little mom-and-pop hotel down there that is just, it's awesome. It's a mile from the track. Most of them were like 30 miles from the track. So, right. And being the first in and last out, we appreciate it.
Yeah, it's a beautiful track. I'm really fortunate that it's so close to my house. I mean, it's only like 45 minutes. But, yeah, it's a national event track with all the necessary stuff added. And they prep it up really good for us. And hopefully we can learn a bunch of stuff and have some fun.
Rob, I got to ask you, being Canadian, I know funny car driving is a wild, wild sport. How did you not end up in hockey?
Because I can't skate.
Okay.
What?
He can't skate. Yeah.
I'm not a winter sports kind of guy, I guess. I love watching it, if that means anything.
So how did you get involved in drag racing?
My dad drag raced in the late 60s, early 70s, and kind of been in the family all along. And when I turned 18, I wanted to head down the drag strip and run my El Camino down there, and I had some friends that owned a Super Pro car, like a 10-second 67 Camaro, and they hadn't run it in 3 years, and they had offered it to me rather than taking my street car down there. I could go down and actually run a race car, see if I liked it, and, you know, my dad helped me out, and we put it all together because they didn't have a motor at the time, and first pass, I was hooked. That was it, and pretty much the rest is history. We bought a funny car at the end of that year and started funny car racing from then on out.
Now, did you go right into Nitro Funny Car?
No.
Oh, you're an alcohol funny car driver?
Alcohol funny car. But we, you know, I worked my way up. I first funny car, I think I went 7-0s with it. And then we kept changing engine combinations and things like that, just slowly working towards what we're at now, and helped me get a feel for everything because I do a lot of the work on the car. So it helped me get used to doing all the stuff and figuring out combinations and things. And more or less just cutting my teeth in the drag racing world.
And we had talked about that earlier. You're one of the drivers that does a lot in your class in the alcohol funny car, do a lot of hands-on on the car.
Oh, yeah. That's probably one of the reasons that helped me fast-track not only driving but tuning it as well. I mean, I was able to come back and be able to see on the computer what I felt in the seat and when I made the changes to see what happened and what it did and how it reacted and things like that. So it definitely it gives you a way better perspective on the things you need to do. And it's always nice to know when you get back to help your race team out to say, hey, I think, you know, this is wrong with the car or that's wrong. Or, I could feel something towing back that because I'm so used to it, but doing it so long, too, that it helps that you got the experience and you have an ear for it. And time slows down when you get used to it enough that you can start to process a lot more information and be able to make it a lot better for the team.
Craig, who did we talk to last week?
We talked with Terry Monroe.
Now, he explained to us how the alcohol funny cars are more a pro class in IHRA than they are in the NHRA, right?
Yes, they consider us a pro class in the IHRA, which is great because the amount of time and effort that everybody puts into these cars, I mean, it's not, and not cutting a sportsman racing, I've been in sportsman racing, and but these things are so time-consuming, and they're not cost-effective by any means, that, it should be considered more of a pro class. We put on a really good show, and we're running ETs that, the fans sometimes struggle to tell if we're fuel or not, you know what I mean?
And for God's sakes, you're going 250 miles an hour. I think
that's right.
About as pro as it gets.
Yeah, it's cruising.
So it's very nice that we're considered a pro class in IHRA and get treated with respect there. And not that NHRA doesn't, but I mean, you got to go to division races. You can't run national events. You got to get so many points, and it's kind of a messed up deal for what the racing should be. You should be able to race the guy beside you for a championship, not somebody that's not even at the same racetrack getting the same points as you, doing different things and stuff. It should be kind of a one point system. It would be nice to see it that way.
And we talked about it last week with Terry Monroe that your class, you know, it was a struggle really to keep this class in. And, I mean, it's one of my favorite classes, but because of the introduction of the nitro cars back, you know, we always had top fuel, but then we added nitro funny car, and it sort of made it difficult. But thanks to some, you know, good sponsors and stuff that stepped up and covered the spreads, then we were able to keep you guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a shame. I believe that not only is it, you know, I mean, like you said, it's your favorite or one of your favorites, but I think it's one of the fan favorites as well. But they're not really getting a choice. I mean, the way funds are and how much it costs to run the classes as far as the sanctioning body is concerned, if they can supply the fans with a visual appeal to that class, let's say, then maybe they're thinking maybe we didn't need alcohol funny cars when they had nitro funny cars, but... like you said, with the sponsors of, you know, Torkel Race Fuels and Ethanol and all the good people that put money forward to keep this alive, and it's given the fans a better show. I mean, I've never met a fan that didn't like a funny car, whether it was alcohol or nitro. I mean, they're a lot of fun to watch. They move around a bunch. You can drive them, and, I mean, it's just great drag race.
And if anybody wants to see what it's like to go down the strip in his car, AtchisonRacing.com, there's a video of Rob going down the track, taken from inside the car. It's
wild.
Crazy.
Yeah, we got our own little cameras that we put on the car to see if we can pick up some stuff, tires and things like that, checking out the wheelie bar and such. But every once in a while, we'll move the camera so you can get we put it on our website, the fans get an idea of what it looks like going down the track. And it's pretty cool. I mean, it's not the fastest run I made, but, I mean, that still gives you an idea of what it's like sitting right out there and I mean, in real time, it is definitely fast. I mean, I'm fortunate when I'm in the seat that, like you said, I'm processing it so much quicker that it slows down. But in real time, it's really trucking along now.
Three-time champion. You know, you've got your experience in this. How many years have you been in the funny car?
Man, I've been in a funny car now for 11 years.
11 years.
Yeah.
Now, the difference between the alcohol funny car and the fuel funny car, what's the basic differences beside the fuel?
Well, I'm not, I mean, I'm familiar with them, obviously, but not to the point to be able to give you exacts to, I mean, there's obviously the fuel. They're allowed a clutch cannon, which is a pneumatic mechanism that can control the locking and unlocking of the clutch, where we use a centrifugal clutch, which is simply run by RPM, and we just weight it to tell when to come in at certain RPM. And they usually run a dual mag to fire, you know, they really run a lot more fuel, so they need a dual mag to run the fuel. We're only allowed to use a single mag in our class. And after that, there's all kinds of other little rules, gear ratios and such, and direct drive and so on. But other than that, it virtually is the same, similar engine combinations, and we do the same things with the fuel on a lot lower gallonage level, but pretty much the same things, you know, taking fuel away and adding fuel and changing stuff. We do a lot of moving the timing around a bunch in these motors, similar to the fuel cars, but maybe not as often. So it's very similar in some cases, but the powers that be change the rules a little bit, so one car can't cross over to the other, because sometimes the fuel funny cars, they don't have enough to make a field, so we could always slip in there if we wanted to and get the big money, but they don't want that to happen.
So basically you could change the fuel in your car and run fuel?
Oh, yeah, you could, for sure. You mean a certain percentage. You could. I figure you could probably run about as much as, like, 55, maybe 60% before it would get to be too volatile for our compression ratio and things like that, right, where they change a lot of their internal components to correct for the style of fuel, right?
So you're basically running the same type blower and everything?
Our blower is a little bit better, actually. We're allowed to use a better blower because our motors don't make the horsepower. So IHRA made a rule that the top fuel cars could only run what they refer to as a 60-degree rotor, and we're allowed to run a 120-degree rotor, which would be probably bolt-on about, for us anyways, if we were to take bolt a 60-degree on and take one off, put a 120, it would be about 350 to 400 horsepower.
You're stuffing some air through that motor, aren't you?
Yeah. So they're holding the fuel cars back from being able to run a lot more air, because if they could push more air, they could burn more fuel, and then they can make more horsepower, right?
Now, does running the alcohol, do you have more life for your motor versus a fuel car?
The idea is to be able to, I guess that's why it keeps, I think that this is a little more like drag racing than, you know, the nitro cars are pretty gone. They've gone out of sight, more or less, with their parts attrition and the things that they're going through, because they're getting the huge sponsors, and to run that as fast as the next person, they're willing to sacrifice a lot more parts and pieces, where with the alcohol ranks, I mean, they'll hurt parts equally as fast as a fuel car, but the idea is to figure out a combination that it won't hurt itself, still run fast, be able to, I mean, it still takes the X amount of service to be able to prevent the maintenance to keep it going, but we definitely get a lot more laps out of our stuff than they do, and I mean, they don't rev theirs very high either. I mean, they only rev those motors usually, I think they're governed around 8,300 RPM, where, I mean, we're wringing its neck around 98, 10,000 sometimes. So
yeah, you're wanking them motors.
Yeah, we're really getting them up there where the fuel cars don't. So to rev a motor like that through three gears and then turn it around and send it right back up to the racetrack without having to pull the heads and do things like that, I mean, those are, we've got a motor that is very efficient as far as valve train-wise, and it's parts attrition is cut down with the amount of time and energy we put in these motors to keep them running.
What do you get out of a motor? How long?
How many passes?
Well, it depends on what it is. I mean, let's say if a perfect conditions, I say I get about 35, maybe 40 passes on a crank, and I only put about 12 to 14 passes on the rods because of the RPM that we're spinning them. But, I mean, we inspect the pistons every time. We can probably get the same number of runs on a piston, 30, 35 passes on a piston. So.
And is it true that the alcohol does make your motors run a little bit cooler, too, as well?
Yeah, they do, yep. Yeah, a lot cooler. We don't have to run any water, any kind of cooling like that.
Right, and also between the nitro cars and the alcohol cars, it's also a lot more cost-effective as well.
Oh, yeah, for sure, yep.
You don't need those big old sponsors with the cubic dollars.
No, those guys have got unbelievable money there.
All right, and another question off the wall. What do you think about Ashley Force and the women stepping up?
Well, it's fantastic. I mean, it's... I think that everybody should get a chance to run one of these cars. It's a lot of fun. It's one of the few cars in drag racing that you can run in Ashley's situation, I guess, and you can run 450s, or we can run 550s at over 250 miles, and you drive it. I mean, you physically, you get on that thing, and you start steering it from start to finish. And, I mean, the dragsters are a lot of fun, and they are the kings of the sport, but they're so long, and they're so graceful, I guess, in some cases, if you want to use that word, but you can't steer them like you can steer this car. I mean, a funny car, you get in there and you got a reef on that steering wheel, and you have a lot of fun doing it. So it's a great car to drive. I think everybody should get a chance to.
I just saw an in-car camera of Cruz Pedregon in a fire.
Right.
Swear to God, he was driving a sprint car. Swear to God, he was driving a sprint car. I mean, that's what it looked like in there.
Go fast, go straight.
Yeah.
Well, that's what everybody thinks. I mean, and even when you stand behind it or stand beside it, I mean, it looks relatively straight. And I've seen some in cars of mine, and I'm like, wow, I can't believe I'm driving.
Trust me, I see you coming at me every time at 250 miles an hour, and not one of these cars goes straight down
the
track.
I noticed that.
They go all over the track.
When they were doing the last man standing deal or whatever, I was at the back, like behind them, and that's when you could see. Very few of them went straight.
Oh, yeah, he's right. I mean, you get a workout in that car.
Oh, yeah, for sure, yep.
These alcohol drivers, it seems like they turn their steering wheel more than a circle track guy does in 5 seconds than we do in 10 minutes.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
They really have to work these cars going down. I did a little bit of drag racing when I was a kid, and I tell you what, Rob, my hat's off to you for what you guys do out there, man, because it's definitely, alcohol burns just like any other fuel, and it's definitely great you guys do what you do.
I appreciate it, yeah.
Now, the one person that you really like to talk to at the end of a race, though, is your wife, Julie, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. That means I won.
Tell everybody what she does.
Julie does the pit reporting and the top-end reporting for Speed Channel, and she's having a lot of fun at it. It was really great for her to be able to.
And she does an awesome job at it. We see her all the time at
the
top end. She talks
to the winners.
Oh, that's very cool.
Yeah. Round of the races.
But, you know, Rob, it's been great having you on. We have one finding. We saved the most important question for last.
Sure.
How about them Eagles?
The Eagles. You mean the Philadelphia Eagles?
Well, on your website, that's what it said. That's your favorite team.
It is my favorite team. And, well, they didn't do that great last year, although the season hasn't started yet. I don't think they drafted that well.
Leave
either,
it to Jack.
All right, Jerry.
All right, man.
You're Canadian. Who's your favorite hockey team?
Oh, yeah, well, I mean, my hockey team doesn't win either, so.
He can't skate, so what difference does it make?
Yeah, right. Rob, thanks a lot.
Hey, Rob, buddy, see you in Tulsa.
Sounds great.
All right, thanks. Bye.
Thanks a lot, man. Go fast. Be funny.
Take a break, and we come back with another drag racer.
At Real Racing USA.
Hi, this is Rick Bristol, driver of the number 30 Toyota Industrial Equipment Florida Lift System, Southern States Toyota Lift Truck, and you're listening to Real Racing USA.
Evergreen Development Construction Company of Tampa is your professional site development leader along the Gulf Coast of Mexico. From tree removal to complete land preparation, Evergreen Development Construction Company prepares your land purchase for complete development, including drainage, utilities, and road construction. One call gets it all. Evergreen Development Construction Company, 813-478-8847. And watch for the Evergreen Development Construction Company late model and open wheel modified at races near you. They're fast, and so is Evergreen Development Construction Company. 813-478-8847.
Evergreen.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Underwear Inspector Number 12.
Mr. Underwear Inspector Number 12.
Whether it be tidy whiteys or banana hammocks, you're the one who makes sure our skivvies cut the mustard.
Riding high.
You make sure the door is fastened with secure seams so that the cow doesn't get out of the barn when it shouldn't.
Don't let it out.
Dedicating yourself to a craft others might poo-poo, you can pass every single man on the street and say with pride, "You there, you're wearing my underpants."
Oh, yeah.
And no, I don't want them back. So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, Eagle Eyes, because we're all glad you've got your hands in our shorts.
Change them every day.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
We're back for the final segment of Real Racing USA.
Live at the Swift River Grill. We've been trying to get a hold of Rick Bristol and get him on our show for the last month.
Well, he's a popular guy.
And we always screw it up.
Yeah.
Not tonight. Always.
12-gauge double-barreled Remington.
Are we having to look?
We have Rick Bristol.
Rick,
how you doing, Rick?
Hello.
Rick, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine. How are you guys?
Doing great, man. Man, you're really rolling with the second Truckers Race.
Well, we're beginning the... You know, the early stages to try to see what we can get put together, trying to make some calls and get some surprise drivers and things like that. But, yeah, I picked the family, the Helmick family, little baby Kaylee. She was born with a heart disease, and the little girl is only, she's about 8 months old now, and she's already had 2 heart bypass surgeries, 5 heart catheters, a lung surgery. But the good news is, right at the moment, she's doing pretty well. I actually got to go home the other day, so we're excited about that. She'll have to go back in about six to eight months to have another heart operation at that time. And we're trying to help them out. The family has lost their house. They had to file bankruptcy. They're actually staying with, I believe it's her mom and dad right at the moment. So the circumstances, the insurance for where she works was able to pay for most of it, but he was having to stay to take care of the baby and be there at the hospital while she was working because the insurance was through where she worked. And so, unfortunately, they just weren't able to keep up with their other bills. So we're going to do everything we can just to help them. You know, it's a rough situation to be in, and, of course, we want to see the baby get all the care it can get and the possibility of... You know, they didn't give her a good chance at the beginning, but things are looking brighter.
Now, how's the young fellow doing that you helped with the last race?
Tommy's actually doing very well. I know he went in for a test Monday, and I have not got a call from the mom yet. And they may not get the results till a couple days later this week. But she's going to call me when she hears it. he was having a little bit of an issue with some cell counts that were a little off, a little funny, and so that's part of what they were doing. But this is the checkup that's supposed to show us if there's any more, you know, if there's any more things going on with the deterioration or anything like that in his brain and that. But last report is good. He was back in. He was going back to school and got a chance to play baseball. And so he was doing really well, and we're excited about that. They're still dealing with some bill issues and things like that as well. But we've invited them to come back, and if we can make this thing really big, we may still be able to help them out as well. We'll take all that as we go this year and see what happens.
Well, you know, when we did our end of the year show, we were talking about, you know, going over what most impressed us over the course of the year last year, and when it came to me, I was most impressed the way Rick Bristol put this whole thing together in the short amount of time you did it.
Well, you know, I appreciate that. I try not to take the credit because there were so many people that helped. I mean, I got the idea. I got the initial thing started, but there's so many people that helped. But, you know, again, my goal is that God has led me to help people, and that's what I'm going to try to do. And we'll do it however we, you know, can get it done. And we're hoping this year to be able to do a lot of things bigger and better. You know, I learned a lot last year, got some new contacts, got some things like that, and we'll just see what happens as far as what we can bring in. But we really, to make this thing jump up, we need a couple of things. Number one, we need a sponsor that help us to cover a lot of the initial expense so that what we do raise goes to the family. And then we need a big name driver to be able to draw kind of crowds we need to really make this thing where it can benefit people. And so those things are things that people need to pray about and think about. And if there's anything anybody can do, those are the two main things that would help this thing be huge. We're gonna do the same things we did last year. We're gonna sell laps again. But this year, what we're gonna do is we're gonna sell them for $20 a lap. $10 automatically goes to the family. The other $10 goes into the, you know, to the lap thing, just like it did last year. And then if the driver donates back that, then that's great too. But $10, so if we sell all the laps, $2,000 right there, just in lap money, goes directly to the family. And then we'll have the award, we'll have the purses and all that. But again, the main thing is if we get a sponsor to cover that. And I'm working on it. I've got a lot of proposals out. But it's a lot of work just to get that, just get the proposals out and get people to consider it and think about it. So that's what we're working on.
When is the race this year, Rick?
This year it's going to be on December 14th and 15th. And we had to change it because PRI show moved up to the date that we had last year, and we just didn't feel like we could. There's some ways we might be able to use that to draw some people, but they also have their event, and if it gets rained out, then it moves everything, and that could really kind of mess up the whole deal. So we just chose, I think it's a deal where we can stand on our own, and that's kind of what I'd like to do. I'd like to make this thing something that stands on its own, it becomes a tradition, and can, you know, like I said, can go, you know, as big as we can make it go. I mean, it could be really a really cool thing. And the thing is, down the line, we may be able to incorporate other kind of races in with it. You know, we just don't know what we can do. I mean, the sky's the limit. We just keep working on it.
200 laps at Orlando Speed World?
200 laps at Truck Race. And I got to tell you, you know, you talk about picking something that I was impressed with. I was impressed with, you know, I've seen a lot of truck races, working in it, driving in it, you know, and all that, and I've seen a lot of beating and banging and all that, but I got to tell you, the guys did a tremendous job at this race, and we started 28 trucks, and 21 of them finished after 200 laps. I think that in itself is an amazing feat.
That is amazing.
But in that, we had one major wreck, and out of that, we only lost two trucks. So in all essence, the guys did a tremendous job, and that was late in the race when people were going for it, and that's going to happen, but they drove clean. We really didn't have any major issues. You had a couple of guys who get a little bit upset, you know, that part of the thing, but they all handled themselves very well. And the coolest thing was watching the drivers the night before when we had Tommy in the pit, and then the night before on the front straightaway, just seeing these drivers come up. And so cool because, you know, we got a lot of young drivers in these trucks, and they all just thought Tommy was cool and they wanted to be around him and all. So that was a really cool thing. They just had a great time, and then they handled themselves like professionals. And like I said, I can't complain anything about the race. It went off tremendously. All the officials that volunteered their time and all, they just made it you know, it just was a great deal. Brad Hockaday came down, brought us the Raceiver system, and we were able to use all of that. It's just an amazing thing. He's going to be back this year. He's going to be able to bring that to us again. And so it just made it very professional. The whole thing went off well. And, again, thanks to Rusty and Don in Orlando and Robert Hart for allowing us to do it there. And Robert was there that night, and I don't think he knew what to expect. And although the weather kept maybe our crowd down a little bit, and not being able to have an advertising budget hurt us just a little bit, but overall he was impressed with the way everything went off, as well as Rusty and Don. And the green light was, you know, definitely given that we can do this again. So we're excited about it.
And the way you got NASA to send that shuttle off, right?
That's
yeah,
right.
That cost me a lot. No.
Hey,
that was an amazing. But see, you know, I take that. So if you're doing what you ought to be doing, and you're doing the things that help people, and there's stuff like that that comes up that you know there's a reason why that happened. It's just amazing that would happen on that night. And what was so funny is standing on the infield, I was standing in the infield, and we knew it was going to go up, but I was standing in the infield, and all of a sudden I turn around and I'm looking, and there's not one soul in the grandstands or on the pit side that are watching the races. They're all looking at the shuttle. It was absolutely amazing. They're all standing up looking at it, and the races are going on. And I got on the radio, and I said, I know that looks nice, officials, but let's keep an eye on the racetrack, because it was that kind of a scene. It was pretty neat.
So this is the Charity Truckers 200, December 14th and 15th?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Oh. And we're going to do basically the same format pretty much as last year. The one thing we are planning to add on Friday night is a $500 strictly stock championship winner-take-all race. And we're going to do that on Friday night. We'll still have the mini cup. The plan is to have the mini cup and the strictly stocks and do our qualifying again on Friday. We're going to plan again to have a barbecue in the pits and some music afterwards. And if we get all the hopefully all the items and the contact stuff, I've already got right now. I've got an autographed shirt from Tony Stewart. I've got a autographed shirt from Larry McReynolds. Those are a couple of items that have come in already. And those are items that we're hoping to have a celebrity auction on that Friday night, along with the barbecue and the music. And so that'll be the regular plan. And the only thing we're going to change about Saturday night, or what we're going to do, is we're going to introduce or have something to kind of bang off the show with, some sort of a stunt, a jump or a crash or something. We're going to do that just to kind of to start off the show. And that's really the only two additions to the show. The rest of it will remain pretty much the same as it was.
Maybe we get Tommy Trouble to come over and do his... His suicide
spiral.
Yeah, suicide.
How was that anyway?
Scott said it was maniacal.
Scott was scared.
Scott was scared. I've seen a lot. I've seen his video. He brought us a video of it. It was of various jumps he's done. It's pretty amazing. Rick, your website is
contact. If you got a contact for him and he wants to volunteer to help with the charity, I know that's a kind of a hard thing to ask when you're risking your life. But if he's interested,
I'll get a hold of Grady, too.
Yeah, we'll ask him. We'll ask him.
For something like that.
See if we can't get Doug to burn something for him.
Rick, your website is carsracermarketing.com. If you remember, send me an email to remind me to put a link to that on the front page of Karnak.
Yeah, he's getting old. You got to remind him.
Okay, he's getting old.
Well, it took me a month to get you on the show, you know, because I forget things. I mean, it's tough.
Jack's already got up to date and some pictures of baby Kaylee and the family on the front of the website. So if you get a chance, go on there and check it out.
It's heart-wrenching,
more details,
man.
And stuff will be coming. We got to recreate. The purse, pretty much, I'm looking possibly to advance the purse just a little bit in the back, and I'm working on that. But other than that, most of the rest will stay exactly like it was. Rules-wise, it'll be the same as it was. It's a combination, but most of those rules have been even worked out this year. Fast Car has adjusted a couple of things in the rule book that fit along, so now they're pretty much exactly the same. That should all clean up real nice, and like I said, it'll be pretty much the same. We just need to transfer some of that stuff back over. And again, we'll start selling. I'm hoping to have a meeting, and I'm looking at sometime in the first week or two of June, where we're going to get together a group, and I've asked Jack. I think I sent Rick an email also. If I didn't, I meant to. We're going to put together a group of people as like a board. I won't call it a board. Let's call it a group of people that want to help, okay?
Sounds good. Board.
But we're going to get together, have a meeting, and this year I'm going to try to give out some of these duties to where I don't want to hurt the
thing by trying to do too much myself. I'd like to spread some of that out. And I've got several people, Carl Green. I've got Casey Caudill's dad, Kelly Caudill, has volunteered to help. And he did so much last year with donating his rig for the family to stay in and stuff like that. So a lot of these people just want to be a part of helping us plan the thing and getting sponsors and selling laps and all that. And that's what we want to meet, kind of get that together. And once we come out of there, we should be able to fill the rest of the information. And if you remember, Jack, it was about July last year when I really kind of went to pushing on the deal, and that'll pretty much be about the schedule again.
And, Rick, the bottom line is by July 1st, we want three major sponsors, right?
That would be wonderful. I mean, like I said, I've got proposals out there that if I was able to get one or two out of the ones I've put out there, we might possibly be able to cover all of the purse and even some of the costs of insurance and that type of stuff. So that's what we're working at. If we can cover that, it would be tremendous.
All right, Rick, we're up against it right now, man, towards the end of the show.
December 14th and 15th.
December 14th and 15th. I'm sure we'll have your ad going again. That was an awesome ad.
We'll be back in touch, and maybe we'll have some new surprises here in the next month or so.
Hey, Rick, count me in on $100 in lap money.
Okay, buddy. I appreciate that.
All right. Rick Bristol.
Right, well, thanks for calling, and I appreciate y'all's support. And let's just make this thing huge and give this family a blessing just before the holidays. It'll be a great deal.
Will do, brother.
Thank you, Rick.
All right, man. Take care, guys.
All right.
It just goes by way too fast.
Oh, don't it?
At last, we meet for the first time for the last time.
Ooh, boo, 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 boo.
On that note.
And we have no idea what we're doing next week, but we'll do something.
Yeah. Tell you what we do got coming up soon, though. The early summer, the Sunshine Reunion.
That's right. Gonna be scary. Stay tuned for major details.
Good night, everybody. Been another successful night here at the Snook River Grill for Real Racing USA. We'll see you next Tuesday night, 7 to 9 p.m., right here on Short Track America Network. Good night now.
one more time.